Welcome to Love Amped, an exploration of healing others through healing ourselves. Check out loveamped.com for additional resources and support.
Love Amped. Hello, friends, and welcome back to Love Amped. I'm your host, Seth Pearson, and this week we take a nice walk in downtown Redmond with David Evans. We talk about how he's gained confidence through high school, different ways he gained confidence in his adult life, and how his parents expressed love to him at a younger age, and kind of how that shapes his personality a little bit. So let's see what David has to say. David.
Hello.
David, you're on the podcast.
Oh my gosh.
How does that feel?
I don't even know how to feel about it yet. I feel scared and excited.
I'm glad you're a little scared.
It's pretty scary.
Because you don't know exactly what'll happen, even though you've been a listener.
I've been a
pretty much
listener.
Since the beginning.
Yeah.
Before we jump in, we have a few housekeeping things, and that is... David, where are we starting right now?
Well, we're starting on the hallowed grounds.
Hallowed
grounds, actually. I don't think they're hollow. Of your original, kind of where you originated from.
Yeah.
You're my favorite abode of yours. LA Apartments.
Down here in downtown Redmond.
Yeah, beautiful downtown Redmond
next,
on the trail.
Next to River Trail Roasters. This is actually where... Adam Balk's episode began, except we're going the opposite direction on the river trail.
Yeah, and I think you'll find that we're going to be going in the opposite direction.
That is Tycho. Hell yeah, Tycho.
Narratively, as well.
What? What was that? Sorry, I got distracted by the Tycho
shirt. It really
doesn't
matter.
Wait, no!
We're going to be going in the other direction, the opposite direction, in our conversation as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You'll be able to tell that as you're listening, I think.
And, I mean, we have a surprise of where we're going to end up as well.
Ooh.
And so...
I don't even know what that is.
You definitely do know, but...
Shh, I'm trying to add to the suspense.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, David doesn't know. David has no idea. So, David, tell us a quick little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, my name is David, and... I am 29 years old, and I am a game developer, sort of, in my fun time, and a software engineer in my not fun time.
That's awesome. That sounds like two sides of the same coin.
Some people would say it's the same side of one coin. It's,
right.
Or it's kind of like a one-sided coin.
Yes.
With two somewhat different parts.
That's right. It's David's life. That's the coin.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's on the other side? We don't know.
I think we need to hear that story that you told Killian and Jasmine and I.
Ooh.
Yesterday.
Right off the bat.
Yes.
We're digging right into
because
it.
Because I think it sets a tone.
Okay. I think I know which one you are referring to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How am I going to lead into this? Well, okay, so what I was telling them about was how a realization that I've been coming to over, I guess I would say over the past year or two, is that I grew up not really knowing how to love, and I attribute this with no, like bad feelings towards my parents, primarily just because I think, like, over time I started to realize, like, while I was growing up, a lot of kids that I know, they'll, like, talk to their parents, and then at the end of the conversation, they'll say, like, love you, or, like, I love you, and I realized, like, I'd never said that to my parents, and I don't think we've ever... said that ever. I don't think.
Oh my god.
I could be There could be one or two that snuck in there without me realizing it.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not a common thing, is for sure. Over the years, like, I would continue to hear people doing that and sort of compare it to my own experience. And I think that because of that, it's been pretty hard for me to share my feelings with other people, mm-hmm. because it felt like it wasn't like the normal thing to do, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never saw my parents do it, I think.
Yeah.
It has been sort of a realization that I've been coming to recently.
That's a wild thing to kind of realize it.
Yeah.
29. You know?
29, yeah.
29.
Yeah. 29. Still haven't said it.
And tell the story as hanging out with your friend when you're younger.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, I was... This is actually my brother was hanging out with his friend.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And this is when he was pretty young. And I'm wondering now if he's going to listen to this. And, like, I don't think he knows the story.
Okay.
But it'll be interesting for him to hear it. He had a friend who, like, obviously, as most people on the planet do, says those things to his parents. And he was pretty young, and one day, like, my mom came by and, like, was talking to me, and she was like, hey, so, like, the other night, like, when we were putting Michael to bed, he said, I love you, and we were kind of, like, taken aback a little bit, because, you know, like, it's not, like, a common, he's never said that before. Do you know, like, is that something that he might have picked up from his friend, do you think, that he's been hanging out with? And I was like, I think, yeah, like, I think I've heard him say that. Yeah, like, that seems like it would add up. And, like, the interesting thing about that was that it really cemented the idea in my head that that was not a normal thing to do. Because my parents seemed, like, so sort of surprised by it and confused by it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that, like, that was a long time ago. That was probably, I was probably, like, mid-teens, maybe.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
15, I would guess. And my brother was, like, 12. And I remember it, like, to this day very clearly, just because it did make a pretty strong impression on me.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that it definitely made a strong impression on me, because I think about it pretty often.
Yeah.
And again, definitely do love my parents, and do not, I'm not trying to say that they, like, just, like, ruined me or something.
No, definitely not.
But yeah, that's my little...
Got four iPhones being tapped on him. That was, that was awesome. Yeah, not at all. Like, you still, like, feel the love between you guys.
And, of course,
like,
yeah.
It's there.
Yeah, it's there. It's just less vocalized than
yeah.
some people might do.
How would they show love to you?
I think, I guess I would say primarily through just sort of parently actions,
yeah.
you know, like through providing for me and taking interest in the things that I do, and I don't know, supporting me in the things I wanted to do, but not so much like verbal declarations or like physical. What do you call it? Gestures.
Yeah.
Like
physical touch.
Yeah. Like, hugging was a recent addition to our
vocabulary
of love expressing.
Amazing.
Kind of when I started, once I like moved out and kind of like it became normal to like greet friends and stuff with a hug, you know?
Yes.
That was when I was kind of like, huh, like I do this with my friends and I don't do it so much with my parents. Maybe I should try and show them a little,
yeah,
a little affection,
a little something, and see what happens.
Give them a little something. Yeah, yeah.
So like, David got this from his friends.
Yeah, they're asking my brother about it. What's going on?
What is happening?
They're reading like books about their parenting help. My 25-year-old son just hugged me. What do I do? But no, that. I started doing that, and it was well received, and now it's a pretty common thing. If still feels maybe sometimes a bit awkward, but you know, I think in some ways, my family is kind of just sort of an awkward bunch, myself included.
Yeah, that's. I mean, good job to you for being the one to add it to the repertoire. You were the one.
I think in some ways I was kind of the instigator for that addition to the family repertoire. Yeah.
The generational healing.
Yeah.
Again.
Maybe it will, and maybe if I have a family of my own, which who knows, but if I do, hopefully I would continue to keep it in the repertoire.
Keep it in the repertoire.
Yeah.
Like, this seems like we'll keep this one.
We'll keep this one around.
Okay.
It
sorry, podcasters.
Right,
I put on wind reduction mode.
There's no reducing this.
This is like a hurricane. Hurricane Redmond coming through.
Oh my god.
It's fine. It's
you
fine.
So? Okay.
It's great.
I'm sure it's good.
Oh yeah. I mean, come on. The wind is
showing us some love.
Every episode, part of this podcast is the adventure of like, where the hell are we gonna end up? And
it's kind
of where we talk about
the worst
things.
Recording conditions possible.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm gonna try underwater next. See how that goes. But yeah, okay. So how do you see like this affecting like love towards yourself? Like, where does this show up? For you personally, on your relationship with yourself,
myself. Well, I've certainly never said I love you to myself.
Whoa! You want to try it right now?
Ooh. Wait, what would be the correct way to say it? Would it be I love me or I love
you?
You
would say I love myself.
Okay. Well,
out loud.
I think. Yeah, I love myself. And to be honest, ever since you started talking about this concept, I will say that I'm not sure I have a super good understanding of what it means yet.
Yeah, because when we talked last night, I was like, oh, David, do you love yourself? And you're like, what'd you say?
I think I said, I don't know. I would guess, because that's what I would say I feel right now.
And we got to get you to a hard, easy yes.
Yeah, well, like, I guess the reason that I'm
hard,
saying...
easy. quick and easy yes.
Quick and easy yes, there you go. A difficult but easy yes.
Yes.
I guess what I would say is that, like, I don't know what the condition... Like, what does it feel like if you love yourself?
Whoa. Do you almost started to say condition.
Yeah, or like whatever.
Unconditionally, David, is the answer.
I mean, like, what would be like the clues that would mean that I love myself, or like
confidence.
Confidence. Okay.
Confidence.
Okay.
I remember you mentioning maybe what like 4 or 5 months ago that you started to notice that your confidence like kind of goes up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the day.
Yeah.
Like, tell us about that.
I mean, not even just throughout the day, but, like, one thing that I've been sort of dealing with recently is, like, for a long time, I feel like I was, well, okay, so for a pretty long time, in kind of the middle of my life, I was, I think, very confident in myself as a person, socially, at least. Primarily due to just, it was just something I did not think about.
Like, yeah.
I'll get to, like, a little bit before that in my life when I was less confident, but during kind of, like, the college years and the kind of time shortly after that, I think I would compare myself to people that I was close with. Like, there was someone that I was in a relationship with who had a fair amount of, like, social anxiety, and I would talk to her about that, and I felt like I just didn't really understand why she felt that way, or, like, what it meant to feel that way, or, like, why you would feel anxious about the things that she talked about being anxious about. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, like, do my friends really like me? Like, am I an interesting person? Like, was I, like, fun to hang out, to, like, be around yesterday? Like, that kind of, kind of, like, anxiety thoughts. At that time, I felt like I've just never thought about that. Like, I've just always assumed that I'll just be myself, and whoever hangs around me, like, that's great.
That's pretty good. It's not bad.
It was pretty good. And then, like, what's interesting is that, like, more recently, I felt a little bit more shaky in that area. Like, I wouldn't say that thinking about it from her perspective, like, threw me off or anything, but I would say that, like, I really don't know for sure. I don't know that I can pinpoint what it is exactly that kind of put me on more shaky ground.
Really?
Maybe it was like, relationships ending and then me, like, kind of questioning my value.
Okay.
Or maybe it was, like, I don't know. I think that's my top suspect, but I wouldn't say that, like, I know for sure that that's what it is.
Because you were in, like, quite, like, a pretty long-term relationship, and once that kind of goes away, then there's, you know, it's a different way of living.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it was hard to get used to, like, not being in a relationship after being in one for so long, and it was hard just, like, when you're in a long relationship like that, you get used to the idea that there's someone who is, like, sort of, like, not unconditionally, but just is really into you, and you get used to that, like, constant sort of barrage of love in your direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when that suddenly goes away, and then you don't, like, immediately find something else, or it's not, like, easy to find something else.
Oh, yeah.
The more I talk about it now, it's sounding more likely. But I think maybe that is kind of what threw me off a little bit.
Yeah.
And I would say today I'm getting, it's been a slow recovery, but I would say that I'm definitely doing better last, even just few months, compared to probably just, like, the lowest point after that. Once I started kind of losing that confidence.
Gotcha.
Because I did start having, like, you know, those anxious thoughts about, like, oh, am I a good friend? Like, am I a fun person to be around?
Ooh.
Like, am I interesting?
Yeah. These are kind of the exact things that
that
was talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It kind of got transferred.
It kind of got transferred. It's like a little virus.
Yeah.
A little anxiety virus.
Anxiety virus. I absolutely believe in that.
Yeah. that's interesting.
That's for sure. And so, like, in getting better, like, what has helped? Because it seems like there's a lot of, like, you're like, well, let's actually, like, look into these reasons.
Yeah. I think one thing that's helped in some ways is doing things like Burning Man.
Okay.
You guys.
Now we got cars. We're just two in the world. I'm like holding my jacket over the mic to hope it blocks a little bit. It also looks like I'm suspiciously holding a gun.
Yeah.
And like at David here.
No. Well, I am being held hostage, so please help me.
Okay, hopefully these cars don't last. We'll get out of the car zone in a few minutes here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But okay.
Yeah, where were we?
We were at
what has started to help? So
yes. Burning Man.
Yeah.
Hanging out. Yes.
So like doing kind of things like going to things like Burning Man. Like Burning Man is something that as kind of a quiet, like not super adventurous of my own accord person. Mm. Like I would have never gone to that.
Right.
On my own. Without someone like you guys going to it and inviting me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it was like, it was a really good experience for me in that it put me out of my shell. It forced me to be a lot more social than I usually am.
Yeah.
Like try things that I haven't tried before. Mm-hmm. And basically just sort of marinate outside of my comfort zone.
Yeah, push in the comfort zone.
Yeah. And I think so that like I think that kind of like it put things in motion to I wouldn't say I like came back and was like, oh, I'm confident now.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely got things going, I would say. And well, then
that's interesting because that was actually like a while ago. That was like
a
year.
It was quite a while ago. Yeah.
And it seemed like this was more like recent of like the like, oh, I'm thinking about these things, questioning myself a little bit. So
those
was,
things really did start, like I would say, I guess it would have to be like a year and a half ago-ish, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, around the end of the summer before that,
after the first Burning Man.
Yeah.
So Burning Man 2017.
Yeah.
That's when you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because exactly. And you weren't going.
Exactly.
With the person you were in the relationship with.
Yes.
Well.
Yeah.
That's another big thing. It's
so
oh, I can do it on my own, but still with friends.
Yeah, it was a little bit more of like a independence, like. Thing like feeling a little bit more of my own person.
Mm-hmm.
And being kind of realizing like, oh, like there's other relationships in my life that are valuable.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be just like this one romantic relationship that brings value into my life.
Exactly. Spread that value around.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole picture.
Yeah. And then, on top of all that, I think just lately, it's been a lot of just becoming confident in achieving my own goals in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And not worrying, trying not to worry so much about relationships.
Yeah.
As in... Like, if they happen, that's awesome. And but otherwise, like, I do have a lot of other other things I'm trying to do. Which is really, like, how I used to feel.
Yeah. you kind of went out.
Yeah, it was kind of like a big circle.
It was.
Of, like, getting back to that. But the interesting thing about that, I think, is that when I had it before, I had not put any work, really, I feel
it
like,
was just like
having it.
Default.
Like, it was just my default state.
Do you think... that I don't know, but like Do you think because your family generally like wasn't about too many like emotions in general, mm-hmm. do you think it was like this delayed like start of like, oh wait, okay, people, you know,
there
usually
are
experiences.
Emotions. Yeah.
Yeah, like, oh, there's like all
and
this stuff.
Yeah, maybe, I think I could agree with that. Like, I think you could say that maybe I didn't really have the tools for a while to even, like, I was so rock solid before, maybe because I just didn't even notice those feelings in myself.
Yeah. So we're also, we're in Redmond Town Center right now. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Crazy.
It's kids crazy. It's kids crazy. Yeah. You just didn't even know they were there.
Yeah, and then, like, once I sort of started opening myself up to some more feelings, mm-hmm. which was largely, like, a great thing, mm-hmm. But it also opened the door kind of to, like, those darker thoughts.
Yeah,
those less good feelings. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Dang, dude, that's some real, that's the stuff. That's the work right there.
That is the stuff.
That's the work. You're doing the work.
Wow.
And so you asked me, like, what are some other things about, like, loving yourself? Mm-hmm. I think, so you're taking care of, like, your mental abilities, like, your confidence, your sense of self. Like, that's, like, the driving factor. Mm-hmm. But then there's also the external. There's the body and the mind, right? So how do you feel like you take care of your body?
I mean, probably not as much as I could, but, and by that, I mean, almost, I mean, in terms of being healthy, almost not at all.
Why is that?
I just have a hard time staying with any kind of, exercise routine or, or like, anything to do with that. Fortunately, I, by default, eat fairly well. I don't overeat, so I don't get too too crazy with that stuff. But
David also has this small frame with me.
Just a small boy and a fast metabolism.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about, I guess, body confidence or taking care of your body, before college, I was not nearly as confident as that default state, but for kind of different reasons.
Okay, why is that? What are these reasons?
Previously, like kind of in the high school period, or like junior high and high school, I guess, which is really the first time that most people start thinking about like, am I attractive? Or like, are people of the opposite sex are gonna like me?
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I was very unconfident, primarily in my looks, but also just being like, I was fairly, shy to talk to people.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I kind of worked through that in my own way of, I changed my appearance significantly in high
school. Goth boy!
I was a little goth boy. I went from like your standard New Balance, like wearing nerd who has never given a single thought to like what he's wearing or what he looks like.
Yes.
To like straight up full on like spiky collar mohawk, the whole works.
Let me tell
nine
you.
9 yards.
He looked good. I saw pictures. He looked great.
Looked just fantastic. And I was doing that primarily just because I had started hanging out with like kind of a different group of friends in high school, and I just, something about that look really attracted me. And I felt like I was attractive when I started dressing and looking that way.
That's cool.
And it was like a huge confidence builder. I think because these people, these friends I had, I respected them or I admired them. And I felt like they were desirable. And so I was like, well, I'll do that because it seems to be working for them.
Yeah.
And yeah, as soon as I started doing that, I kind of felt like as long as I look like this, then I feel confident, and that enabled me to like be more outgoing and more confident in my ability to talk to people, more confident that people would like me. And then over time, slowly, as I got older, I just kind of shedded layers of that.
It ended in a like in a wristband.
Yeah, just down to like a final single wristband.
Which stayed on you for at least maybe what 3 years or something like that.
Yeah, various wristbands.
And then now when I look on that wrist,
you see just
I see a bare wrist.
Yeah.
I see one burn on your hand though.
Ooh. Yeah, you want to know about that?
No. Because it's too intense. I want to make this, like, fake story. Like, or I want people to think, like, oh, what happened to his hand?
Yeah, and it works really well when you tell them that.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll edit this out.
Yeah. No, I don't edit out anything. It's just too much.
Okay.
But, yeah, so, like, it's all gone. And yeah, David's wearing some pretty standard, fine-looking clothes right now.
Standard clothes, which, like, prior to back in the day, like, it was like a protective shell, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no one, no one could see me.
No, they could not.
And it felt very safe that way, I guess.
If you ever went out without wearing, the clothes and stuff?
I would not feel confident.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, at all.
No, you see the theme going on here, David, with the confidence here?
Yeah, I think so. And it's definitely been fluctuating.
Yeah.
The course of my life, but I guess, like I was saying, in different ways.
Oh, yeah. And here's that part. Okay, so everyone on the old podcast, it's a very exciting time here at Redmond, and I'll tell you why. The downtown Redmond Park opened up yesterday.
For business,
and we just arrived, and it's fucking beautiful. It's like, we got little water fountains where kids just run through, do stuff. We got curvy benches. We have a raised up lawn that does have autonomous lawnmowers. I've spotted them, seriously, going around and just cutting the grass on their own, like a Roomba. Really nice, kind of like amphitheater area, like kind of very Apple-esque. Like you could see that, like the Steve Jobs Theater. It kind of looks like that.
I think I see. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Great chairs. Ooh, these were definitely custom made for this. I'll take a few of these home.
This has been our park review section of the podcast.
I mean, I've been just looking forward to this so much. Like just walking through it. It's just like, I can't wait until Redmond Downtown Park opens. You know?
Despite all the requests from the community, they did not just turn it into a big, like, weed field.
Yeah, oh my god. There was a time about 4 years ago where they put up little places where you could suggest what the place would be. And they were on these, like, fence posts.
It was pretty much like a big bunch of fence posts with, like,
weed.
YouTube comments on it.
Yeah, exactly.
You can imagine.
That was amazing. So now we're just here in the park, and it's
now we're enjoying the park, away from the cars.
Yep.
I'm going to stand in the way of the wind.
Thank you. I'm also going to stand in the way of the wind.
Yeah.
The way of the wind. So, yes, that helped out confidence a lot.
It did. And yeah, just kind of like the longer, I think just it was like I was incubating inside of there, molting.
Yeah.
I was incubating and then I molted. I molted off those protective layers over time, and also because I decided it looked silly eventually.
So it was like absolutely a positive thing for you, like overall, like there's nothing.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely caused like some strife with the family and
of course,
things like that.
Like, David, why do you look like that?
Why are you doing this? Yeah. Is it because you hate us? And at the time, I didn't really have a good answer. But yeah, and it was really, looking back, just like a a really good thing for me.
Yeah.
It's kind of finding my confidence in
finding like what makes you comfortable outside and make you like feel like who you are, even though it's like not what you ended up doing forever.
Yeah.
But it was like part of like finding that sense of self at that age and like finding that confidence.
Exactly. And then as I grew more confident, I just kind of shed those layers until I was able to just be confident on my own as sort of dressing however I feel like dressing.
Yeah.
Which I still like definitely I look different from how I did in high school. But
yes.
Or from before I started doing the goth thing.
Yes. Dare I say cuter now?
I hope so.
Very cute boy. Very cute. Just kind of want to grab that scruff and just kind of lay it on him. Lay those lips on him.
Exactly.
Grab that hair.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, dig your fingers in there.
I'm currently massaging his scalp with my toes.
Try to imagine the position that we must be in for that to happen.
We are in
the park.
And it's very good. Wow. Yeah. I think that's what it is for you. I think that's it. Like,
you think that was
confidence.
Confidence, yeah.
Confidence, sense of self, re-engaging with emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So from this day on.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think the, like, you've kind of figured out your routine of, like, your inner voice at this point, would you say?
What do you mean, like, my routine of my inner voice?
Of not having, like, not being negative towards yourself.
Yes.
That
I would say, for the most part, yes.
Okay.
And, like, I guess what I would say about that is, like, realizing that that there is an inner voice that you can control, and that, like, the things that it's saying do affect how you feel, and that you don't have to, like, let it say the things that it wants to say, which, in my biggest, I guess, step forward in that area was after doing psychedelics.
Really?
Yeah, so like I think before doing psychedelics it never really occurred to me that they were like thoughts that you shouldn't, that you don't need to have.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say shouldn't have, but thoughts that there are thought paths you can go down that really just aren't worth going down. There's no reason to follow those all the way down to like whatever conclusion they're reaching. Like, if you start just thinking, like, oh, like, does that person really like me? Or, like, ooh, should I have done that? And you're just, like, keep just digging into it and, like, picking yourself apart, the actions that you did or whatever. I mean, it's great to reflect, but it's also can be too much.
Yeah.
And while I was on the first time I did psychedelics, it was LSD.
Mm.
And, during that experience, the first time I did it, I started to have kind of like a sort of a tough time because I was just thinking about a lot of stuff and, you know, going down those rabbit holes of thought and like, ooh, what's around this corner? Like, let me just keep going until like I'd kind of like worked myself up into like a panic. And I managed to bring myself out of it just by like kind of realizing like, well, I'm just in this interesting experience and it is going to end and I'm just going to write it out for the rest of it and see where it goes and just not fight it kind of. But it was that having that experience though, that made me think about the fact that like there are thought paths that aren't worth following. And like, not only, at first I was just kind of thinking of it as like, oh yeah, when you're tripping, like if you don't want to like freak out, like there are certain things that you just don't think about or that you recognize when you have them, like, oh, if I follow this, it's not going to feel great for me. So maybe I just won't do that. But a little while later I realized like, oh, like that doesn't just apply to when you're on psychedelics.
Yeah.
Like you can, that's true all the time.
All the just time.
Much more so when you're
tripping. It's just a little magnified.
Yeah, just a little magnified. Yeah. So that was kind of an interesting realization. It was like, oh, I don't, cool. Like, there are thoughts that you have that you don't need to have, and yeah. They're not adding value to you.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to let them serve you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think that was a big step forward as far as eliminating a lot of anxiety mm-hmm. from my life, because mm-hmm. I just try not to think about those things, because you don't need to.
Yeah, just don't need to. It's just yourself. It's just,
yeah.
Why are you making it hard on yourself?
Exactly. Exactly.
You are all you got. I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the end, but when you know, wow. Is there anything else that's helped you thus far?
These vague questions are the tough ones. You gotta dig deep.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? I mean, I think I would just reiterate that realizing that if I just am the person that I enjoy being, then, and this is just kind of the North Star of thought that I try to keep telling myself mm-hmm. over and over again all the time. Anytime I'm like feeling nervous about something, if you just enjoy being the person that you want to be, then the people that you want to be around will see that, and you'll attract the people that you want to be around just mm-hmm. naturally mm-hmm. by doing that, I think.
Just being you.
By just, yeah. I don't wanna, it sounds pretty cliche, but like, yeah. It's what it is.
It absolutely is. And David, before we, this guy is even, this kid's saying goodbye too.
We have a guest.
We have a second guest on the show. Do you want to make a promise Ooh. Right now to Ooh. Yourself?
Okay.
That you will unconditionally love yourself for the rest of your life?
Whoa.
Yes. Yes.
Damn.
What do you think?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Yeah. Okay.
I promise. I promise to myself.
Yeah.
For the rest of my life, and maybe even after that, unconditionally love myself.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can feel the love already.
Isn't it good?
Yeah.
It just kind of opens it up. It's kind of like if a water balloon, like you picked it with like a little needle.
Mm.
And then just that's the love pouring out.
It's yeah, just it's like, just slowly.
It's like coming out.
Slowly filling me up.
The liquid between your teeth, as they say.
No. What? I haven't heard that one.
They all say that.
Yeah.
They're all saying it. Okay, David, I love you. Bye. You're on my podcast. You
bye.
Love and.
Many thanks to David Evans for being on the show and sharing how he's grown confidence over the years, and also for making a promise to love himself forever. That was really cool. So yeah, if anyone wants more information, follow me, Seth_Pearson on Twitter, and check out loveamp.com for more information. And until next time, guys, love yourselves out there.
This was Love Amped, a podcast by Seth Pearson. Check out loveamped.com for more info on today's topic.